live all across the United States and Canada and around the world. We're on the air because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip you to defend the Bible and historic Christianity because truth matters. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
The tragedy in Haiti is all over the news, and a stark reminder that life is paper tissue thin. Last week, I participated in the funeral of a friend, and each day, the obituary column is replete with new, fresh faces, some very young, a reminder that the tragedy of life is not to die young, but to live a long, robust life and never use it in the service of the Master. The worst thing that can happen in life is not to die. The worst thing that can happen is to spend an eternity separated from the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And that is precisely why we do what we do on the Bible Answer Man broadcast and at the Christian Research Institute. There are only two kinds of people in the world: those who will spend an eternity separated from the love and grace and goodness of God, and those who will forever fellowship with the one who knit them together in their mother's wombs. I'm also reminded of the fact that whenever these kinds of tragedies strike, it seems that the Christian world once again receives a black eye. And oftentimes, this is a self-inflicted wound. I was absolutely chagrined when I walked into the studio just a few moments ago and saw the words of Pat Robertson. And he is talking on his Christian Broadcasting Network 700 Club about something that happened a long time ago in Haiti. And he says people don't want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French in Haiti, you know, under Napoleon III, he says, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you, devil, if you'll get us free from the French." And then says Pat Robertson, "True story." And so the devil said, "Okay, it's a deal." And ever since that, the Haitians have been cursed. They've been desperately poor. Of course, that's the word of faith mantra, that if you suffer poverty, you're under a curse. And Pat Robertson then goes on to talk about the Dominican Republic, which is prosperous, and the contrast between the part of the island that is the Dominican Republic, which is prosperous, and Haiti, which is in desperate poverty. And he says the same island. And because the Dominican Republic didn't make this pact with the devil and Haiti did, allegedly, at least, according to legend, you have Haiti today suffering the sins of their forefathers who made a pact with the devil. And again, this is a self-inflicted black eye on Christianity, because here a prominent Christian leader is communicating legendary information. And I might add, this is the same guy who said Ariel Sharon's stroke was divine retribution for dividing God's land, that Yitzhak Rabin's murder was God's retribution for signing the Oslo Peace Accords. I can't help when I hear these Christian leaders pontificate in startling fashion of the words of Jesus Christ, who had a completely different take on things when he spoke about those who perished when the Tower of Siloam crashed down on them, Jesus said, "Do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no." I would much rather heed the words of Jesus Christ than the words of Pat Robertson. And this is a warning to all Christians. Don't simply believe what the leaders are telling you. Test what they say in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. We have no warrant whatsoever to suggest that the Haitians today dying in an earthquake are dying because of a pact that their forefathers made with the devil. This is not only absurd, it is deflective to the gospel. Much better that we get on our knees and pray for the Haitians and recognize that our lives are temporary. We live in a cursed creation, a fallen world, that one day will give way to the best of all worlds, a new heaven and a new earth where indwells righteousness. So those listening to the sound of my voice should be into the Word and the Word into them, equipped, always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Not those who puff up their chests and say, "The reason I'm prosperous and the reason I'm not suffering is I didn't make a pact with the devil." The gospel is each one of us giving a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus Christ. A lot of people hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Julio. He's listening on WMCA, New York, New York. Hi, Julio.
Hi, Hank. Glad you're back in the air. I didn't know.
It's good to talk to you.
I have a question as to where certain ministry. Have you heard of a pastor called Uksu Park?
It doesn't sound familiar, no.
Korean pastor who holds, has Bible tapes. He teaches as to where that if one is saved by Jesus Christ, through his blood, that one is cleansed of all sin and one is not considered a sinner anymore, that one is becomes righteous. I wanted to know, what is that correct?
Well, it requires contextualization, Julio. It is true that we are positionally declared righteous by God, which is to say that we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But it is a foreign righteousness, not a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. So we are positionally declared righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But practically, we are yet sinners. And of course, the Apostle Paul amplifies that point when he says, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, but I have the desire to do what is good. I can't carry it out, for what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who does it, but the sin living in me that does it." Now, of course, this was not a statement that was meant to escape a moral responsibility on the part of the Apostle Paul, but it was a statement regarding the powerful lure of sin and the fact that all of us continue to struggle with the sin nature and will do so. Although we're being sanctified, daily conformed to the image of Christ, we will continue to struggle with the problem of sin until that day that we are glorified. And in glory, we will be in practice what we are now only in position.
Okay, but as to where, it was explained that to us, when I went to the crusade, that one does commit sin because we still live in the flesh. But in one of the scriptures, it says, it took me to a few, as to where it says, God would remember your sins no more.
Well, that's right, because they are covered. They are buried in the deepest part of the sea. They are not remembered against us anymore. That's thoroughly biblical, and that is absolutely correct. Which is to say that our sin has been separated from us as far as the east is from the west because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But again, that's our position in Christ. The practical reality is we still have a fallen nature. It is also true, by the way, that we are going to be justified and redeemed from fallenness and from the hurt and pain, the death, the crying, the mourning of a fallen world. But that's not going to happen until a new order of things comes about and God Himself lives with us. So this is a promise. This is our position, but this will not be a practical reality until the day that Jesus Christ comes back and puts all things to right.
Okay. And as where it says on John 1, chapter 1.
Just a second. Are you talking about the Epistle of John or the Gospel of John?
The 1 John, the epistle, I think.
Okay, yeah. 1 John what?
1 John chapter 1,
uh-huh.
Is 8 to 10.
Okay, yeah, that's where the Apostle John says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But what's the next thing that he says? If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the word has no place in our lives. So yes, we are justified, we are purified, but that is not because we are no longer those who have a sin nature. It is because we are covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I use this metaphor often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast because it's so graphic. It's not original to me. It comes from Luther, who said that we are like snow-covered dung. So we are sinners covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So in the metaphor, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is snow. Our sin nature is the dung. The snow covers the dung. So we are seen as righteous in position before God, but we are yet sinners until the day that we are glorified in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
Okay. All right. I wanted to clarify that because I see as to where. How can one be righteous and a sinner at the same time?
Yeah.
It can be, right?
Okay. Yes, it can be. And that, again, I'm going to say one more time. It is because in position we are declared righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In practice, we are yet sinners because we continue on with the sin nature.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. That's what I want.
So just remember those two words, position and practice.
Position and practice.
Yeah. In practice, we are sinners. In position, we are righteous.
Okay, position meaning?
Our position in Jesus Christ means that we're covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right.
Hey, Julio, thank you for your call. Great question. Important question. Glad we had an opportunity to spend some time on it. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Jason. He's listening on Bot Radio in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Hank. It's good to talk with you. I had a question. A coworker of mine is a Jehovah's Witness, and he and I talk from time to time, and I'm somewhat familiar with their beliefs, but he spoke of something today that I was never heard of and not familiar with. He told me that before Lucifer fell, that God put him in charge of the earth as an experiment for his loyalty to God, and that even though he was given the authority over the earth, that he was not actually given it. It was an experiment to see, and I've never really heard of that, to see if he was going to be loyal, and then he rebelled, and then a third of the angels fell. But yeah. I just never heard of that as a belief, or I've never read it in the Bible, and I've never heard of a Jehovah's Witness having that belief.
Yeah, well, look, this is what we call making something up out of whole cloth. It's completely ad hoc. There's no basis for it whatsoever. So it's okay. An interesting story, but where is the biblical evidence? We know that Satan fell, but we don't have the details. So you can concoct a story, but that story you have to make up out of whole cloth. It's pure speculation. But the real problem, of course, with the witnesses of the Watchtower is that they have a completely different Jesus, a completely different gospel. Their resurrection is fraught with error. So they take the essentials of the historic Christian faith and they compromise, confuse, and contradict them. And of course, our responsibility as believers is to take those deviations from the historic Christian faith and to use them as springboards or opportunities to share the grace and love and truth that only the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, can bring to the human heart, not the Jesus of the Watchtower, who will always leave you empty. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special five-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church. This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word, this coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship.
Considering it's Mother's Day, a great time to honor your mom and husbands, to honor your wives. Bring them on a great vacation. Let them relax in the beautiful Caribbean sunshine.
To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online at equip.org.
Join us this year for the trip of a lifetime.
Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in scripture interpretation. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274, or go to www.equip.org.
That's equip.org. If the Bible Answer Man has ministered to you, you have our faithful donors to thank for that. We regularly hear about changed lives and people equipped for good works through what God is doing through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. The continued regular, prayerful, and financial support from our Bible Answer Man monthly support team, the CRI Fellowships, and the President's Council is what keeps the Bible Answer Man on the air on this station. If the program has meant something to your life, why not call us and join our team? When you partner with us, you'll also receive special benefits. To join or find out more, our ministry phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And of course, you're welcome to join the team online on our secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And once again, we're going to go right back to our callers after a quick exhortation. This is a ministry that is supported by listeners just like you. And you have heard from time to time people in recent days and weeks say, "We're so glad you're back on the air." That's only temporary unless we have the resources to stay on the air. And that is a direct function of people standing with us prayerfully and financially. I cannot tell you how delighted I am by the abundant, abiding fruit that is born each and every year on stations throughout the United States, indeed around the globe, as a direct result of the faithfulness of God's people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing, and we hope that you will be one of those that feels inclined, motivated, encouraged, exhorted by the Spirit of God to stand with a ministry that tells it like it is. No matter what the cost, you can support this ministry on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web again, equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Derek. He's listening in Indianapolis, Indiana. Hi, Derek.
How you doing, Hank? I have a question about this verse. It says in Psalms 34:20, "He keeps all of his bones, not one of them is broken." Now, I read the context, I read the chapter, and it was talking about anybody, but then some preachers say that that verse 20 is referring to Christ, but I know that that the chapter was referring to anybody, but John the Baptist was his head was cut off. That means his bone, his neck had to been cut, had to been, you know, severed. So what do you feel about this?
Well, that's a great question, and that takes some explaining. And the way I'd go about that is to point to typology. A type has an antitype. The antitype fulfills the type. So, for example, the type is the Passover lamb. The antitype is Jesus Christ, who fulfills the type of the Passover lamb. With that understood, you have the type, which is the Passover lamb, Jesus, our Passover lamb, who fulfills as the antitype, the type of the Old Testament. You look at John 19:36, where John says, "Not one of his bones will be broken." John there is talking about Jesus Christ, but in doing so, he is quoting Exodus 12, which speaks of the command not to break any of the bones of the Passover lamb. And also Numbers, I think it's chapter 9, that these bones must not be broken. You must not break any of its bones is the injunction or the command, the imperative in the book of Numbers. Well, in Psalm 34, you have David pointing out that God protects all his bones, not one of them will be broken. Why? Because Psalm 34 is a psalm of prayer praising God for deliverance. And the Apostle John now is taking this psalm, this praise for God and for his deliverance, and John applies this to Jesus as the supreme example of a righteous man, as the antitype that fulfills all the types and shadows that have come before in the Old Testament.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Hey, you got it, and a great question. And again, this is a real issue that we have to grapple with, because a lot of skeptics, particularly Jewish skeptics, very familiar with the Psalms, will point to this and say it's utterly absurd for a Christian to take this as a prophetic fulfillment, which is to say it's utterly absurd to say that Christ not having his bones broken on the cross is a prophetic fulfillment of Psalm 34. Makes no sense to them whatsoever. But if you can explain this from the perspective of type and antitype, wow, you can now reach them rather than repel them. And I've written about this in some detail in a book called The Apocalypse Code. I think the most important chapter in that entire book is the chapter on typology. Once we understand that, we can become enormously effective in our witness for the ultimate Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who fulfills all the types and shadows of the lamb that was the unblemished lamb that used to be sacrificed in the Old Testament. Let's go back to the phone lines now. We will talk to Rory. Rory is listening on XM 170 in Connecticut. Hi, Rory.
Hi, Hank. How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Nice talking to you.
You too. I'll make this quick. It revolves around one of my friends I work with. His name is John. We fellowship a lot. And he brought something up the other day that revolves around something that's been said in Malachi about the refiner's fire and the book of remembrance. What he's telling me is that God goes into a sleep every, so let's say, a billion years. I'm just using that as an example. And he has the book of remembrance when he comes out of the sleep and then does this whole thing again, throwing, you know, let's say it's a different Lucifer, et cetera, et cetera. I'm trying to explain to him that that's just not possible. So he's trying to tell me that Jesus Christ gets crucified every so many billion years and there's a different angel who falls. So he's kind of mixed up within that, as well as to fight that argument, he's saying, then why is Jesus called the Son of Man? I can't answer the Son of Man thing, but the Book of Remembrance kind of explains itself.
Yeah, well, I want to say it's a metaphor, and say it with a bit of exasperation. You can't take the metaphors in the Bible and try to make those metaphors walk on all fours. If you do, you're going to have a lot of problems in reading not just biblical literature, but just communicating in general. The ancient kings used to keep records of notable deeds. You see that throughout the Old Testament. Esther 6 is an example, Isaiah 4, of course, the famous Daniel 7 passage, another great example, where the Son of Man comes from the Ancient of Days, in Daniel chapter 7. And so what you have here is a metaphor which has a precedent in ancient times. And this metaphor is now used with respect to Yahweh, the God of Israel. And the point is, in Malachi, in fact, in this very passage, those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. This is within the context of a people in which Malachi is saying this people is under a curse, under judgment, because they have rebelled against the Lord. The priests are corrupt. The people are involved in wicked practices. They have a false sense of security, and this security is going to fail them, except for those who fear the Lord, because the metaphor says those who fear the Lord are written, as it were, on the palm of his hand or in the book of his remembrance. It's sort of like the book of life that you see in the book of Revelation. The book of life is not a literal book as though God has to inscribe your name in some kind of a scroll or on parchment or on paper. No, it is a metaphor for all those who are part of the kingdom of God through faith in Jesus Christ.
Oh, beautiful. Once again, the Son of Man, please can you explain why is Jesus called the Son of Man and not the Son? I know he's also called the Son of God, but also the reference to the Son of Man.
Yeah. All the descendants of Adam are sons of man. And in a specific sense, the Son of Man also refers to Jesus Christ, and it is a title that is referred to throughout the Gospels. In fact, Christ himself called himself the Son of Man, not because he denied his deity, but to show his compassion and his love for all of humankind. He could identify with us in our humanity, and as such, Christ is both Son of Man and Son of God, and the union of his two natures is called a hypostatic union. It is a union of one person in two with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. What's also very interesting about this is that this is the very thing that Jesus Christ says as a way of demonstrating that he is God. And he says this before Caiaphas and the court condemning him to death. And he combines two different things. One is the words of Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, and two is the words of David the psalmist. And in that way, he is communicating that he is the Son of Man who would be sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. In Daniel 7, Daniel has a vision, and he looks, and there before him was one like a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will never pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. So the very words of Daniel chapter 7 make it abundantly clear that Son of Man is not an obfuscation against deity, but it is an exclamation of deity, particularly when it is combined with Psalm 110, where David says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And by the way, when Christ combines these prophecies and proclamations, he is claiming that he is Yahweh, the God of Israel, and to the Jews like Caiaphas and the court condemning Jesus Christ to death, this is blasphemy because he, a mere man, at least from the perspective of Caiaphas, is claiming to be God. So the very title itself is a title of deity.
Okay, thank you very much. And I always listen to your show at 6, so I appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, God bless you. Appreciate you calling in. And again, all of this is so wonderful as a means to be equipped to demonstrate the deity of Jesus Christ, because what is the mother of all questions? Well, it is the question that Jesus Christ himself asked. Who do you say that I am? Was Christ a mere man, or is he the one that spoke and the universe leapt into existence? The answer to that question makes all the difference in the world. We'll be right back with more of the show, so please don't touch that dial.
When was the last time you stopped by our brand new website? It's easy to find at www.equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you can listen to current or past broadcasts of the Bible Answer Man, sign up for free podcasts, learn how to connect with CRI via social media, order products and materials you hear about on the broadcast, and get expert analysis and reliable research on cults, teachers, and religious movements in our world. It's also a vehicle by which you can contact CRI directly or give a tax-deductible donation to our ministry.
It's the wealth of research you would expect from the Christian Research Institute. Again, the address is www.equip.org. We'll return with more of the show right after this.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
We have assembled for the first time ever some of the great luminaries of the evidence for Christ in the world. These people have been assembled for one purpose, and that is to present the case for Christ to you. And in the end, it's your responsibility, your opportunity to come to your own conclusion in the case for Christ.
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Christ is now on DVD. One skeptical journalist:
I thought the idea of an all-powerful creator of the universe was just an absurd idea.
Investigates the most important story in history. Lee Strobel and biblical scholars explore the evidence for the life of Jesus.
Now, it would require more faith for me to maintain my atheism than to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Investigate the evidence for yourself.
The Case for Christ. Look for it on DVD.
Order this DVD and the entire Lee Strobel 3-disc film collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.
After 50 years of research and equipping Christians, there is a new generation of believers that must be equipped to continue this work and stay strong in their faith, as actor and evangelist Kurt Cameron understands.
We as parents have to be equipped, and that's the biggest tragedy, I think, in the family, is that if we don't pass on the faith to our children. And it's just essential, and that's why I appreciate your ministry, Hank. I want to encourage everybody who listens to this broadcast and supports it, and those who don't yet support it, to please get on board. And if we all pull together, we can make a massive impact.
Joining together, we can make a massive impact in our world. It is time we stop waiting for things to change and start making a difference. Join us today as we embark on the adventure of a lifetime. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. Now back to the adventure with Hank Hanegraaff.
And a quick reminder before we go back to your questions that for your gift right now of any amount to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I want to send you the Legacy Reading Plan in a place marker format that you can put in your Bible. It's laminated. It's extraordinarily helpful. I'm using mine, and I got it for the first time this month, and I'm absolutely delighted with it. It is a reminder of reading through the Bible, not in bits, but in books. every year for the rest of our lives so that the Bible becomes a habit to us. And this is an extraordinary habit because this is listening to the words of God. We say as believers, God has spoken. And if God has spoken, don't we want to know what he said? We want to learn to read through the Bible, to read God's words, and then to understand what God has said by not just reading a bit here and a bit there, but reading through the panoply of Scripture, God's love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. Again, the Legacy Reading Plan, just a small token to say thank you for standing with us prayerfully and financially, and a way for you to remember to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. Let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up, Howard, listening in KKLA country, California. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Hank. We're so happy to hear from you and always praying for you and your family.
Thank you. Bless you.
Now, my question deals with James Cameron. I was in the library, and I saw a DVD produced by him about the grave or burial box of Jesus. And I understand that it was denounced, even by atheists, as just shabby. It didn't prove anything. But what I want to know is whether or not CRI has produced anything that would answer James Cameron.
Yeah, we have. We've got information available. We have a piece that's called Collapsing the House of Cards Over the Lost Tomb of Jesus. And we can send that out to you, or you can probably access it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But you're absolutely right. This notion that the lost tomb of Jesus Christ has been discovered has been thoroughly discredited, not just in the sacred community, but the secular community as well. Supposedly, this ossuary or this bone box was discovered in 1980, so this is not anything new. Cameron has just made a cottage industry out of it at a particular point in time and acted like this is some kind of a new discovery. A consensus of archaeologists and historians dismiss the claim that this is the tomb of Jesus Christ. In fact, the names that are inscribed on the ossuaries, and there's more than one because this is a family burial plot, are extremely common for Jews of that time and place. One out of every four women at the time was named Mary, and Yeshua or Jesus was almost as common. And not only that, but if you go to the historical record, you see that one of the things that Christianity cannot abide is a tomb containing the corpse of Christ. And at the very beginning, the foes and friends of Christ alike conceded that the tomb was empty. Of course, the foes said that the disciples came and stole the body. But in doing that, they were conceding something, and that is the empty tomb. And so, again, I underscore the fact that Christianity cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Christ.
Thank you, Hank. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Appreciate your call. Hey, by the way, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour today, continue taking your calls. So if you want to have your question answered right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we'll be doing that for another hour once we go off the air. So here's the number to dial. We'll get your question, I'll answer it, and we'll play that on some future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast when I happen to be traveling. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. So you can start dialing that number right now, and we'll be taking you in the next hour once the show is over today. 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Anastasia. She's listening in San Jose, California. Hi. Hello. Anastasia disappeared. We'll go right back to the phone calls and talk next to Mario. Mario is listening in El Paso, Texas. Hi, Mario.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. I praise God for your ministry. And once in a while, when I do remember, I pray for you.
Oh, thank
you. Your ministry.
Thank you.
But, Hank, I have a question on the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Chapter 9 of Genesis, verses 13 all the way to 16.
Uh-huh.
The Lord promises that, and he made a covenant to himself and the people, that he will never, ever destroy the world again. And then we look at the New Testament in Peter. If we go to 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord, and if we look in particular the verses, I'm looking from all the way from about 3, goes all the way to about 7.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about that the Lord will destroy the earth, and he will judge the world. And
seems like a contradiction.
It looks like a contradiction, yes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I know a lot of people have been reading these exact words in Genesis because they're reading through the Bible, and Genesis 9 was something they probably just read a week or so ago. But yeah, interesting. In Genesis 9, the great story of the flood, you have God promising never again to destroy the world. And by the way, this starts the flood in Genesis chapter 6. But God promises at the end of all of it never to do this again, never to destroy the world again by a flood. And he sets a bow in the sky,
right,
as a remembrance of this promise. Now, what's different about the Second Peter passage is this has nothing to do with the flood, nor does it have to do in the ultimate sense with the destruction of this earth. It actually has to do with the reconstitution of this earth. It is true that the earth as it is going to give way to a new heaven and a new earth. As Paul describes in the New Testament, Romans chapter 8, he talks about the earth now groaning in travail, and it's waiting from its liberation to bondage to death and decay. And so the time is going to come where this earth is liberated from that bondage, and that is the very thing that Peter is describing in 2 Peter chapter 3 when he talks about the day of the Lord. And this is also a day where godly men are going to be destroyed. But again, what happens to godly men? Ungodly men are going to be destroyed. But what happens to ungodly men? Well, they're going to be destroyed, not in the sense that they are going to be eradicated in some sense. In fact, Jesus himself made clear that a time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. So even the ungodly are going to be resurrected, but they're going to be resurrected to life apart from the goodness and grace and glory of God. So in the sense of destruction, you have to understand there is also imbued the notion of resurrection, albeit apart from the grace of God. In the sense of those who are godly, they're going to be resurrected and forever be in the presence of God and have a fruitful relationship with the one who knit them together in their mother's wombs.
Okay, I see. Well, okay, I can understand, yeah, how the Lord will make everything new, and of course this world is decaying, and something better will come to us. But it's just, you know, I know there's an explanation, right? But yeah, I couldn't put those two together as I was reading through my Old Testament.
Well, I hope that helps. The Bible is never contradictory, but sometimes you have to do a little digging.
That's right, and I'll keep doing that, Hank, and I really appreciate your ministry because I've learned so much from you. And can I ask a really quick question?
Go for it.
As far as the memorization of Scripture,
yeah.
Hank, I've tried it, but you have to put time. When do you make time? In the morning? So how do you do it?
Well, that's a really good question. And in terms of memorization, what I typically recommend is that you do it with a family member or a friend.
Okay.
Because that way you have some accountability. If there's not a period of accountability, oftentimes this just becomes another unfinished monument. The other thing that I'd really recommend is that you try to eat the elephant one bite at a time and make the bite small enough so you can digest it, which is to say that you don't want to pick a long passage all at once or set your aim too high. Set small, attainable, achievable goals and then continue to build on them. I tell people, look, if you really want to be a minimalist, say this: I'm going to purpose to memorize one verse every month. A lot of people say, well, golly, that's easy for anybody. Well, maybe so, but if you did that this year, 2010, you would have memorized 12 verses, which is probably more than you memorized last year.
Right.
So set small, attainable goals. If you try to do too much, usually it becomes an unfinished monument. You give up and you say, I couldn't do that. But if you set this small, attainable goal and you achieve it, you can start building some momentum.
All right. Sounds good.
Mario, thank you for your encouragement and for your call.
Thank you, Hank. God bless you.
God bless you. And again, I want to remind everyone that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without you, we simply don't stay on the air. And we went off the air on some stations around the country, and there was a cry amongst the people. Letters, phone calls, emails. What happened to the Bible Answer Man broadcast in my area? This was a sacred time for me, etc. But we simply did not have the resources to continue, and so we took a short sabbatical so we could catch up. And quite frankly, we still have a lot of catching up to do. We want to stay on every station that we're on right now. But it takes people that say, you know what, I'm going to make a small contribution. Some people that say, I'm going to make a large contribution. But everyone standing together, making a contribution, whatever you can do, makes a difference. And the bottom line is this: it bears abundant, abiding fruit. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It's the most efficient way of giving. You can also do so via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and you can give via our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. And again, a quick reminder as we look at the clock, 23 seconds and counting. I'm going to stay right here once the show's over. I will continue taking your calls. So if you want to ask a question, the number to dial right now, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Thanks for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
The Christian Research Journal is the premier magazine covering relevant and current issues on Christianity, faith, ethics, religious movements, philosophy, and so much more. Recently on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Elliot Miller, editor-in-chief of the Christian Research Journal, joined Hank in the studio to discuss the latest issue, which includes a special five-part article re-evaluating our views on the local church. This issue is available in print or digital format, or you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal at equip.org. You can also call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Set sail for a week at sea with the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Word. This coming May 9th through May 16th, 2010. The seven-day Western Caribbean cruise departs from Tampa, Florida, and sails to four beautiful Caribbean ports like Grand Cayman, Belize, and Cozumel aboard the luxurious Carnival Legend. Enjoy a time of great fellowship and daily teaching from God's Word with Hank. Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp leads worship. The topic throughout our week will be the Word, as we explore the unfathomable riches of the God-breathed Scriptures and how we can apply these great truths to our lives. To participate in this event, you must register with our friends at Sovereign Cruises by calling 877-768-2784, extension 101, or by going online to our website, www.equip.org. Register soon, as cabins are limited.